Hello, everybody. This is Rabbi Yaakov Fish on my weekly podcast, Let There Be Light, with an ongoing mission to discover more pockets of light in an increasingly dark world. The topic I would like to discuss this week is, I think, a topic that would add a great amount of light to all of our lives. And just thinking about this past week, Thanksgiving in the rearview mirror, a time of usual gratitude and thankfulness and happiness. And this year was definitely different because of the pandemic. I just wanted to identify one factor of why we are not as happy or as grateful as we should be, if I can say. Just in very general terms, and that is this. My topic of the week is expectations. We all have expectations, and expectations lead to certain understandings. And when they are unmet, that leads to not only a lack of gratitude, but to a lack of happiness. But before going on, I'd like to start off with a story, and I once heard from a rabbi, I can't say if the story is true or not, but he said all stories are true, but some have not occurred yet. And I would apply that to this upcoming story. There were two guys in a park, and one guy sitting in a park looking rather gloomy. And his friend said to him, "Why you look so gloomy?" So he said, "You know, about a month ago, I had this great uncle that died, and he left me $50,000. He goes, "Really? Wow, that's amazing." He goes, "And 2 weeks ago, I had this distant cousin that died, and he left me $100,000. "Wow, that's amazing. Great uncle died, leaves you $50,000. A cousin dies, distant cousin dies, leaves you $100,000. And that's not the end of the story." He said, a week ago, I had another distant cousin from my mother's side that died that left me $500,000. Because this is unbelievable. Because 3 weeks ago, you had a distant relative, a great uncle, that left you $50,000. Was that a month ago? I can't even remember by now. 2 weeks ago, it was $100,000. And now you have $500,000. Why in the world do you look so gloomy? So a friend said to him, "It's been nearly a whole week now, and no one else has died yet." And, you know, this story reminds me of expectations. Expectations, you know, sometimes we have expectations and they just are not met. And the question we have to ask is, are our expectations realistic? And we have to re-examine the expectations that we have in life. We have expectations of so many in life. And we'll start off by God. We have so much expectations of God. And when he doesn't deliver exactly the way we want him to in the exact time in the precise manner, God has let me down. We have expectations from the close people in our lives, our spouses, our kids, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our coworkers, our colleagues. When they don't deliver the way we want them to in the exact precise way, we're unhappy with them. There's a profound and compelling lesson in this week's parsha, this week's Torah's portion about Yaakov Avinu. Jacob, our patriarch, was coming back to the land of Israel. And he had a promise by God. God revealed himself in a revelation, revealed to Yaakov in a revelation that I'm going to be your guardian, I'm going to watch you every step of the way, I'm going to make sure you come back to the land of Israel safe and sound. And yet here is Yaakov on his way back, Jacob is on his way back, and he's facing the threat of being murdered by his own brother. This was the reason why he left to begin with. He thought perhaps tensions had cooled, but no, that was not the case. And now Yaakov is on his way back, Jacob is on his way back. And just from this time, it's different because he has wives and children and they're about to be murdered as well. He's in a tremendous duress. And he prays to God, but he says something very unusual, I would say. He says this word of katonti mikol hachasadim mikol hamas. Katonti is the Hebrew word of katan, I've become small, meaning I'm so overwhelmed from all your kindness and all the wonderful things you've done to me. And basic observation of the biblical text, you can just wonder, what do you mean? God promised you're going to be okay. If anything, if you have any message to God, it should be, God, please deliver. You promised everything would work out. You promised if I was observant and I was, everything would just work out. You promised everything would be fine. And now things are not fine. I have a crisis with faith. No, that's not what Jacob said. That's not what Yaakov Avinu said. Yaakov Avinu said, perhaps katonti, perhaps I have used up all the grace of God already. Perhaps I have so much to be thankful for, so much the last 20 years, that I don't have any credit, so to speak, left. But regardless if that was an accurate assessment of his last 20 years or not, that he used up the credit, I mean, but just the mere notion that Jacob's coming and saying, I'm not coming here with expectations. I'm not coming here with a sense of entitlement, even though this was the man that God promised to directly that he would be okay. He said, I'm asking for a privilege. I'm asking for a privilege to come back. It's a totally different story when that happens. So I want to take this idea over here of expectations and just kind of bring it home to one specific example I believe is in all of our minds, some more in the front of our minds, some more in the back of our minds. Sometimes we speak this thought out loud, sometimes it's not so loud, but almost in every day, almost in every conversation, this question that I'm about to share, not the most profound question, is somehow embedded or buried between every conversation and dialogue that we have these days. And the question is when is COVID going to end? When can we expect COVID to end? Because COVID will end. I mean, I'm not a prophet, but we know that just looking at the history of the world, the pandemic, has never killed everybody in the world, and it's unlikely it would happen this time. We just don't know how many people will die, not to make light of it, of course. We hope and pray that we're not going to be the ones that pass away. But we do our best. We do take our best precautions, and that's a separate conversation of how to take your best precautions. Everybody has a different personal situation. I don't want to get into that right now, but I do want to focus in on the question of the expectation of when it's going to end. And then, because here we are in December already, the 12th month of the year, and it really hit the United States in full force in March. So here we are 9 months into it, and I've heard the comment several times, and perhaps I've thought of it as well. I'm not sure if I said this out loud, but I think I've thought this consciously or subconsciously myself, and that is, I thought it would be over by now. I thought COVID would be over by now. I thought it would be 3 months long, 6 months long. I thought it would be over by now. But then again, you realize what's happening? That's an expectation. There's an expectation that it should be over. It should have been over 2 months ago. It should be over within a month, or whatever factors will bring to the successful conclusion. God willing, people will get better. There'll be therapies and vaccines, and they will be safe and for people to take, and there will be lots of healing in the world. But I don't want to dwell on that on those factors either. But I just want to focus on the factor of the question that we ask is, when is this going to be over? And I just want to get back to my point about expectations. I'm not sure that's the most helpful question that we need to be asking. Because the reality is that we have no control over that. We have absolutely no control of when it's going to be over. Whenever God decrees it to be over, obviously with the help of the medical community and the scientists and everybody else involved, and saying we don't have to do our hishtadlus, our best efforts here amongst the human race. But one thing that has reminded us is how little control we have. So just dwelling on when it's going to be over, that I have an expectation. I have something coming up. I have a wedding coming up in this coming July. I have, my kid's graduation is this coming June. It better be over by then. All these expectations are leading us to be more anxious and more unhappy, as opposed to, I'm not saying this is easy, as opposed to saying, look, we're doing our best. We're taking all the precautionary measures that we can. And, you know, hopefully it's going to come to an end sooner rather than later. And but that's not going to be a question that consumes me all day and night, when it's going to be over, because that's something I have very little control of. I think if somebody internalizes the latter approach, the person will be less anxious, less unhappy, and be able to be more grateful over the small things in everyday life, despite that COVID's going on. Because sometimes, oh, there's COVID, I can't be happy. There's so much stress, I can't be happy. But 1 second, did you have fresh food today? Did you breathe in fresh air? Did you take a walk today? Did you walk? Did your legs move today? Were you able to speak to a family member today? Were you able to put a pair of shoes on? Were you able to get in an automobile? There's so many things. Let's open up our sense of wonderment again. So many amazing things going on in this world, but yet we can't appreciate it because of so much noise, and especially the fog of COVID, and the expectation that we're just waiting for this to be over. So I'm humbly suggesting we redirect our thoughts on that. So we're going to do our best. We're going to listen to the medical community and seek our guidance from the agencies and individuals that know best, and we'll have best practices in that regard, take our best precautionary measures. But in terms of obsessing of when it's going to be over and the expectation that it should be, you know, that's not in our control. And sometimes when we realize that's not in our control, that's makes things a lot easier mentally. I understand it's a big ask because so many people are suffering, so many people are hurting financially. And we just want to get to the other side. We want to get to the other side and take a deep breath and look up back at this in the past tense. But guess what, folks? We're really dealing it now with it now in the present tense. And we're dealing now with an unpredictable and apparently long winter ahead of us, according to many. So it's not really so helpful to keep on asking, oh, when is it going to be over? I wish it's going to be over again. That's expectations. There's another powerful, powerful lesson in the Torah I want to share about expectations. I'm just so blown away about this every time I take a look in the Chumash about this, in the Torah about this. That is with Moshe. Moshe, his whole life, he wanted to enter the land of Israel. That was his whole passion in life. That was his not only his living wish, his dying wish. Just wanted to enter the land of Israel. Already from the first time he inspired the Jews in Egypt from the burning bush, he was told by God, you're going to lead the people, take them out of Egypt, and then enter the land of flowing with milk and honey. And every single time that there was stress along the way, there was resistance towards entering the land of Israel, he said, don't give up hope. And he led the people for 40 years like a loyal shepherd. At the end of this experience, God told him. It's a whole separate reason. Maybe we'll make a separate podcast for that. Why Moses couldn't enter the land of Israel. When it says in the Torah that Moses prayed to God, it says, Vaaschanan el Hashem. What's the expression, Vaaschanan el Hashem? Rashi, the famous commentary, points out he was asking God for a gift. I'm not coming with a sense of entitlement. I'm not even coming with an expectation. I'm just asking for the privilege to enter. And guess what? In that case, God said no. Sometimes that happens. But the point that I want to make from that narrative is the powerful lesson of lack of expectation that Moshe Rabbeinu Moses didn't have that expectation to enter the land. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we live in stressful times. Yes, we live in challenging times. Yes, we live in difficult times. But we live in times of miraculous events occurring, both locally and globally, on the micro level, the macro level. There's so many things to be grateful for. There's so many relationships to be grateful for. There's so many miracles of the human body, the health that we do have to be grateful for. So much fog, on the other hand, distracting us and distorting us, telling us, no, we have to be miserable. We have to be anxious. And there's a lot to be concerned about. But having expectations, especially unreasonable expectations. Now, I'm not here to suggest, of course, that we should have no expectations of anything or anybody in life. No, there is an expectation. Like, you can have an expectation that people should be civil and kind, and to a certain degree, I believe that, of course. But to have expectations upon expectations, mounds and mounds of them, just lead to a lack of gratitude and a lack of happiness. So I ask you, my friends, this week, think about that. Re-examine your expectations. Re-examine them. And especially the expectation about when COVID is going to be over. Ask yourself how helpful that is. I hope and pray that you're able to pivot away from having these grand expectations of God, of family members, of other people in your life, even tough expectations on yourself. And if you're able to do that, even in a small way, I believe you'll discover more light in the world. Until next week, my friends, let there be light.